It's been 2 years since a company from Texas called Oakwood bought up 5 mobile home parks in Bloomington Normal, home to thousands of people. A WGLT investigation into Oakwood's business practices found a pattern of rent and fee increases that have squeezed residents, including many with lower fixed incomes. WGLT student reporter Ben Howell has this first story in our series about how Oakwood has trapped residents with rising costs.
Greta and Steve live with their family in a mobile home in North Meadow Village in North Normal. But it really isn't as mobile as the name implies. Greta and Steve aren't their real names. They spoke to WGLT as anonymous sources as they feared retaliation from Oakwood. 2 years ago, after Oakwood purchased North Meadow and 4 other parks, they immediately raised rent by about $100, so the couple considered moving. They can't afford the $32,000 cost of moving their double-wide trailer to another park, but they can't afford a rent increase either if they don't sign a new lease, so they stayed.
I have to work a little overtime. She has to get a second job, and it's just, we have no time at home. We bought a home to be at home, not to be at work.
We have no time together with our family, with our kids. I mean, we're always tired. We're always exhausted. And when we are together, we just want to sleep.
Oakwood presented all their tenants with new leases to sign in September, with a rent increase of $50 if they signed, or an increase of nearly $200 per month if they didn't. Greta and Steve signed their new lease. For decades, mobile homes were one of the most affordable housing options in Bloomington Normal, but the arrival of the Texas-based investment firm changed that. It's raised eyebrows of legal advocates and community members like Aaron Duncan, an attorney at Prairie State Legal Services.
We are concerned that there are some practices with really increasingly high rent increases when people are asserting their rights, and that there may be unfair practices happening there.
Duncan previously filed a now-settled lawsuit in 2024 against Oakwood, though WGLT interviews with 14 residents of the company's Twin City parks showed the company continues to pursue aggressive tactics. Thomas Craig is 75 and lives in Grandview Estates in southwest Bloomington. His rent has risen by $125 a month since Oakwood took over. His son-in-law, Alex Germanis, helps take care of him.
If you go by typical housing standards, you should only really be paying about 30% of your income on your housing every month, and he's well past that.
Germanis' father-in-law is on a fixed income. His Social Security check every month is about $1,000. As rent increases take a toll, Craig could end up having to sell his trailer.
He ends up with less and less to live on, really, because it's not like any more money is coming in. You have to keep putting more aside for the lot rent, and you end up with less money for the other necessities of life.
Germanis says his father-in-law cannot afford the short of $200 charge of not signing a new lease, so he has engaged with Prairie State Legal Services on the matter. But Oakwood's legally questionable actions go beyond rent. In their aggressive pursuit of fines for violations, residents tell WGLT of nickel and dime fees, ranging from forced mowings of their yards to failing to supervise your children. Many of their complaints to park management go through Becky Petta, president of the Homeowners Association at Hilltop Mobile Home Park in South Bloomington. Petta says park management, at least at one time, was aware of Oakwood's strategy.
As I was once told by the regional manager, we can make more money if y'all move out and take your homes with you or sell the park. We don't care whether you pay your lot rent or not because we'll evict you. If you don't follow our rules, then we're going to evict you.
Petta also dealt with park management earlier this year in response to their altering of residents' Xfinity internet contracts. In February, Petta went to pay her Xfinity bill online and noticed the balance was zero, so she called Xfinity.
The supervisor informed me that as of January 1st of 2025, that Xfinity was going to be added to our bills for all the six mobile home parks that were in the state of Illinois.
Petta inquired further, how did Xfinity get her information and the information of her neighbors? She says the Xfinity supervisor told her.
Well, the regional director at the time and the 4 owners out of Dallas, Texas, decided that they would do this. So they sold us your name, address, and phone number.
The move is known as a multiple tenant environment plan, which is legal according to the FCC. Comcast, Xfinity's parent company, did not respond to a WGLT request for comment. Petta said lack of communication happens here at home, too. She said she once called the manager of North Meadow Village twice a day for 5 days before she answered.
She kept saying, oh, I was busy. I said, no, you're not busy. I know exactly what you're doing. And I said, so you need to answer the phone when somebody calls, and you need to call them back.
Petta was seeking help for a woman who had a burst pipe under her home that was beginning to flood her yard.
She had not called this lady back for 3 days. And the lady went up there, and the manager was at the park, doors locked, and her car was parked outside and does not unlock the door.
In response to WGLT, including claims discussed by residents in their interviews, a Dallas PR firm hired by Oakwood replied with a statement. Quote, we value open communication and encourage residents to reach us through multiple channels, including our app, website, phone, or in-person visits. Our resident satisfaction will always be our top priority, their statement said. With reporting from Ryan Denham, I'm Ben Howell.
WGLT's series about Oakwood's business practices continues tomorrow on why private equity buyers like them see manufactured homes as moneymakers. All this week on Sound Ideas, you've been hearing about the business practices at Oakwood. That's a private equity-backed company that now owns 5 manufactured home parks in Bloomington Normal. Residents in those parks say Oakwood is squeezing them with rent increases and other threatened fees and fines. Many can't afford to move, and they can't afford to stay. As WGLT's Ryan Denham reports, this is life for many when private equity buys the land out from under you.
Amanda Hodel and Kelly Abramson of Bloomington are neighbors. They both have dogs, they both struggle to make ends meet, and they're both trapped. Hodel and Abramson live in Grandview Estates in southwest Bloomington. In the 2 years since Texas-based Oakwood bought their manufactured home park, they've seen their lot rent jump by 30%. As the threat of another $195 increase looms. Abramson recently had back surgery and isn't working herself, leaving her fiancé as their sole provider.
$195 will break us. I mean, we're good tenants. We pay our rent on time. We've never had any trouble until now. It's a constant $100 here, $100 there that they're asking for, and who has all this extra money laying around?
Records show that Oakwood bought Grandview Estates and the 4 other parks 2 years ago for $86 million. It's part of a nationwide trend toward consolidation in manufactured home park ownership, often led by private equity acquisitions. For wealthy private investors, manufactured home parks are a smart move. There's a lot of demand for housing and not enough supply. And your often vulnerable, low-income residents are a captive market. Here's Chad Reed, who has studied manufactured housing and now works at the nonprofit Ivory Innovations.
There's a lot of money in running a manufactured home park, especially if you raise rents as high as you possibly can and perform minimal maintenance to the property.
Oakwood is a relatively young real estate investment firm, founded in 2018 by Clayton Carter and based in Dallas. They're growing fast. They acquired their 100th property in June with parks all over the country. They bought the Twin City 5 from the Moore family. Jim Moore had 46 parks across 6 states at the time. We sent several questions to Oakwood, including about the role of private equity in the mobile home industry. They answered some of those questions in an emailed statement. They said, quote, we're proud of the ongoing improvements we continue to make in our communities and of the relationships we've built with residents. While others may wish to discuss broader industry trends, Oakwood is focused solely on creating high-quality, affordable neighborhoods and providing safe, well-managed communities. There is an inherent power imbalance when housing is a basic need for the tenants and an investment opportunity for its owners. That is according to Aaron Duncan, supervising attorney at Bloomington-based Prairie State Legal Services, which has taken legal action against Oakwood.
That's particularly true for mobile home tenants who stand not only to lose their housing, but their own investment and equity if they own the mobile home and rent the land underneath it.
Oakwood apparently needed the government's help to buy its Bloomington Normal parks. Oakwood tells WGLT that Freddie Mac, the government-controlled company, helped finance the transaction. Jordan Ash is housing director at the Private Equity Stakeholder Project Watchdog Group. He says Freddie Mac's involvement means the buyers are likely getting loans at lower interest rates than they would have otherwise.
They have a mission, which is supposed to be to promote and preserve affordable housing. Lending on manufactured home parks, they count that towards fulfilling that mission. However, you know, as we have seen, that when they make loans to private equity firms, they are actually destroying affordable housing. They are removing affordable housing from the market.
Freddie Mac did not respond to WGLT's request for comment. It's not hard to squeeze money out of manufactured home residents. They often own their own trailer, but rent the pad underneath it from the park's owner, such as Oakwood. They can't afford rent increases. They don't have many options. It can cost thousands of dollars to move a trailer from one park to another, and you might not find savings anyway, since Oakwood owns about half the lots in McLean County. Selling your trailer can be tricky, too, as buyers typically can't get traditional loan financing. Here's Jordan Ash.
You know, they're called mobile homes, but they're not very mobile. So people are kind of stuck. There's nowhere else to move. They can't move their home. So they have to find a way to pay the rent. Or if they end up, you know, having to walk away or be evicted, then the park owner basically gets the home for free.
Since the 1990s, more manufactured home parks have closed than opened, limiting options and empowering park owners to increase rent as much as possible. That's according to Dave Anderson, executive director of the National Manufactured Homeowners Association.
In almost every market, there's nothing that can keep you from doing that. Maximize your profits. If you want to close down amenities or reduce the amount of reinvestment you put into the property, there's almost nothing that holds your feet to the fire.
Anderson says there's been an explosion of tack-on fees that are nickel and diming residents across the country. That sounds familiar to Amanda Hodel and Kelly Abramson, the friends from Grandview Estates in Bloomington. Hodel was recently hit with a $100 fine for allegedly not tidying up her yard. That was chosen from a two-page menu of violations that residents are given.
A lot of their rules and regulations I don't agree with now. Like, if you have a flat tire in your driveway, you can't even change it or you get charged $100. Your kids can't play in your yard unless you're outside with them.
Hodel and Abramson say their extra money has not led to any improvements at Grandview. They're frustrated by the park's slow response to maintenance requests and other communications. Oakwood is not alone in this business. As more individual owners like the Moores sell, institutional investors like Oakwood are buying. Jordan Ash says they represented about 20% of all park sales as of 2020, probably even higher today. Esther Sullivan is an associate professor of sociology at the University of Colorado at Denver. She wrote a book about manufactured homes.
So this is occurring not just in Illinois. This is occurring not just in the Midwest. This is occurring across the country with marked regularity.
With reporting from Ben Howell, I'm Ryan Denham.
WGLT's series about Oakwood's business practices continues tomorrow with some advice for mobile home residents who want to protect themselves or organize. All this week on Sound Ideas, you're hearing about the business practices at Oakwood. That's a private equity-backed company that now owns five manufactured home parks in Bloomington Normal. As soon as the company bought the parks, residents began to advocate for themselves and seek legal help. This has led many to try and do more to educate residents on the various laws and avenues they have to stand up for themselves. WGLT student reporter Ben Howell has the story.
Twin City mobile home park owner Oakwood is part of a larger trend of manufactured home parks being taken over by private equity. In response, advocates for affordable housing and legal experts have risen to meet the needs of people living in those homes. Erin Duncan is the supervising attorney of Bloomington's Prairie State Legal Services. Last year, she filed a now-settled lawsuit against Oakwood on behalf of two residents, accusing it of unfair business practices. One of the key laws she uses in these kinds of cases is the Mobile Home and Landlord Tenant Rights Act.
And that's when they're looking for their rights related to rent increases, assessment of fines and fees, some about eviction, the right to list their home for sale without interference by the mobile home park, utility billing practices, park maintenance.
Another is the Illinois Consumer Fraud and Deceptive Business Practices Act.
So when we see misrepresentations about tenant rights or things like the unilateral imposition of fees and fines that were not originally in a tenant's lot lease, those raise big red flags for us as legal aid lawyers. And so we continue to look into remedies for unfair landlord and park owner practices under several different laws.
Just this year, the Landlord Retaliation Act also went into law, prohibiting increases in rent, decreasing services, and more if a tenant, for example, joins a tenant's union. The laws and legal precedent are important resources for tenants inquiring about possible illegal practices by their landlord. Duncan says getting individual advice is important, as the information is also confusing.
You know, sometimes we see stuff floating around online, or people get information that is actually maybe related to a Chicago, particular ordinance that doesn't apply downstate. And so it can, there's a lot of misinformation floating out there, and it's really important that people understand their rights in their particular situation.
There are important differences between a mobile home lease and an apartment lease. Duncan says one example is that the lease of a mobile home is automatically renewable.
And so if you sign an initial lease, you lease up on certain terms. You say, these are the fees or fines that I would agree to pay. You know, here's the essentially the terms that you originally lease up on. You should have a right to rely on those terms without unilateral changes to them by the park.
Duncan says if a landlord does have a reason to terminate the lease of a tenant, there are specific notices that must be given. There is also a specific requirement for raising lot rent for a mobile home. State law requires mobile homeowners to give a 90-day notice for a rent increase.
But to be clear, that 90 days can't come in the middle of your lease term. So if you're in the middle of your lease term and you get a rent increase notice that says in 90 days your rent's going to go up, that wouldn't be legitimate unless it's aligned with the time when your lease is renewing.
For mobile home residents facing eviction, Duncan stresses that eviction is a process. A notice of eviction does not require the immediate and complete removal of a tenant.
There are notices that are required before an eviction complaint can be filed. Once a complaint is and summons are filed, somebody has to be served with those. You're going to have a first appearance for a court date to go to court, and then make a decision at that time about maybe negotiating a resolution or asking for a trial.
After that initial court date, residents have the right to a separate date purely to argue evidence against their eviction. Duncan also stresses that only a judge can provide the legal notice of eviction. Another route mobile home tenants have tried to take to stand up for themselves is organizing among their neighbors, but it can also be a tricky process. Organizations do exist to advise residents in those situations. Dave Anderson is the executive director of the National Manufactured Homeowners Association. He recognizes unionizing can be challenging for residents.
You know, if you stick your head up and start organizing, you're not just risking a place to live, you're risking the home you own.
This is especially true of low or fixed income individuals. Anderson's advice?
My experience is that you get the best results in terms of the policies you want and the best messaging on your issues if you become your own advocate, and especially if you can set up an organization to support your interests over time.
Anderson says volunteers and legal networks provide free services to mobile home residents, but another powerful ally is the Illinois Attorney General's Office, or the law firm of the state.
They're broadly empowered to enforce the state's laws, and they're complaint-driven agencies, like a lot of agencies are, that the number of things they could get involved in far exceeds the resources they have.
Therefore, Anderson says the Attorney General has to be recruited carefully and correctly.
Probably not a great time to talk about how if your next door neighbor only fixed their skirting, there wouldn't be so many stray cats living underneath their home. Save that issue for another day. You know, if you and all of your neighbors are instead suffering from the fact that there was a break in the water line and you're now all worried that your water is contaminated, focus on that and only that.
Anderson said the Attorney General can also provide language guides and fact sheets for residents regarding their rights. With reporting from Ryan Denham, I'm Ben Howell.
WGLT's series about Oakwood's business practices continues tomorrow with how mobile homes fit into the need for more affordable housing.
All this week on Sound Ideas, you've been hearing about the business practices at Oakwood. That's a private equity-backed company that now owns 5 manufactured home parks in Bloomington Normal. And if you didn't know a lot about mobile homes before now, that's because they're often left out of the conversation about addressing housing shortages here and around the country. WGLT's Ryan Denham explains why.
What if I told you there was a way to create a bunch of unsubsidized housing at half the cost of a traditional single-family home? That solution is manufactured homes, aka mobile homes. But that option is rarely discussed as policymakers and developers try to address a housing shortage that's driven up rents and home prices across Bloomington Normal. There are many reasons why. The stigma surrounding mobile homes is arguably the biggest. Pop culture turned trailer trash into an unfair shorthand that's hard to shake. Esther Sullivan is an associate professor of sociology at the University of Colorado at Denver, who wrote a book about manufactured homes.
This is workforce housing. This is the bus drivers and teachers and retirees and vets and all kinds of people seeking an independent homestead, you know, 4 walls and a roof and a lot of yard of their own on a budget.
Indeed, nearly 6,000 people in McLean County already live in manufactured homes, according to census data. Around 71% of those people own their own trailer, that data show, but many rent the land that it sits on from the property's owner.
It's a deeply affordable form of housing.
The stigma around mobile homes took decades to form, tracing back to the chaotic evolution of this type of housing. That's according to Dave Anderson, executive director of the National Manufactured Homeowners Association. Travel trailers were used to allow mobility during the Great Depression and during World War II, with no expectation that they would become permanent housing. That happened anyway, almost accidentally. But with no widely adopted construction guidelines, Anderson says the quality of those earlier trailers was hit or miss.
And so it was chaos. And almost immediately, it gave, from the very beginning, mobile homes a black eye.
Federal standards didn't emerge until 1976, when mobile homes became manufactured homes. But Anderson says the reputational damage was done. Some Bloomington Normal neighborhoods resist even upscale multifamily housing construction nearby. A new mobile home park would likely attract similar opposition. That stigma looms over what's otherwise an affordable option. The average sale price for a new manufactured home is about $115,000 in the Midwest. That's according to census data supplied by the Legal Services Corporation. By contrast, the average cost of a resold site-built home in Bloomington Normal is now up to $287,000. Chad Reed has studied manufactured housing costs and works at the nonprofit Ivory Innovations. He says some of today's manufactured homes are visually indistinguishable from a site-built home.
People think of like the rectangular, very few windows, flat roof, you know, tin siding. And that's not at all what, I mean, you can probably still get a manufactured home that looks like that, but you can also get a home that is really, really nice looking and looks, yeah, visually indistinguishable, but a good bit cheaper.
There are other barriers, including financing. Nationwide, lenders deny about half of mortgage and home-only loan applications for manufactured home purchases. That's according to Pew Charitable Trust's research released this year. In Illinois, it's more like buying a car and getting a title than it is like buying a home. A Bloomington Normal realtor who has helped buy and sell manufactured homes said she's been unable to find any local lenders willing to finance the deals. She asked not to be named because she doesn't want more manufactured home listings. They're a hassle to sell and don't lead to much of a commission at the end. The realtor noted the skyrocketing lot rents at five Bloomington Normal mobile home parks now owned by Oakwood. She said that reality, coupled with the prohibitively high cost of relocating your trailer, makes it inadvisable to buy a mobile home. For residents, the viability of a manufactured home depends largely on where it sits. In the U.S., about half of these trailers are owned by the same person who owns the land. That is not the case in the five parks owned by Oakwood, which leases its pads to trailer owners.
People live in kind of a nebulous area where they're not quite traditional homeowners and they're not renters.
What they are is vulnerable to landlords' actions.
Whether that's increases in rent or failure to maintain properties or even sometimes predatory or retaliatory behavior, because they have all their housing equity installed on this land that they rent from a landlord.
Chad Reed's research shows manufactured housing still holds promise as an affordable form of housing that could expand homeownership opportunities for low and moderate income households.
Manufactured housing in a park is a really affordable housing option. Unfortunately, there are trade-offs that come with that.
With reporting from Ben Howell, I'm Ryan Denham.
This is the fourth and final story in WGLT's series about Oakwood's business practices and its impact on mobile home residents in Bloomington Normal. You can catch up on the whole series at WGLT.org/mobilehomes.